are looking for trouble. We're looking for securities that maybe at the top level look so good, and at the bottom level, no, they don't. And we've got David Trainer from New Constructs here to help us find them. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, it's the Danger Zone here on Money Life, and I'm joined right now by David Trainer. He is the president and founder of New Constructs, where they evaluate securities from the bottom up. And that's because at the top down, well, you know, you look at something and the numbers, they can be affected by a lot of things, which leads to a question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
It is totally possible that securities are not as attractive as they look. And the flip side of it is it actually works the other way as well. A lot of times, David and his crew will find something where everybody else is thinking things are ugly, and they come away thinking,
you are so good looking.
Yep. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at newconstructs. And remember, they blog about their Danger Zone picks, so you can always get more information on anything you hear on this show by going to the website. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Sell-side defenders.
Danger, danger.
Sell-side defenders is going to take a little bit of explaining, but what it really is people who are believing some positive spin that's out there, right?
Yeah, really, it's those believing, and it's the sell-side analysts who, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, after the earnings call from Tesla, the earnings report from Spotify, both companies, from any objective perspective, in dire need of more capital, horribly cash flow negative, and most people have heard how absurd Elon Musk's behavior was on his call. Nevertheless, ratings are still positive. Target prices are still being held steady. You know, and the spin from the Wall Street guys who are hoping to get some of the underwriting fees related to the funding that these guys will have to employ to stay afloat, it's just laughable. And we had to come back to it, even though we talked about this similarly last week for Netflix. Two great examples this week in Tesla and Spotify that were too good to pass up, Chuck. We had to come back to it.
Help my audience understand what is being said and what you're reading versus what you're seeing in the statements. Help folks understand just how big this disconnect is and why you don't think like this is just coincidence. This is one guy kind of reading the tea leaves differently.
Yeah, no, this is, look, you know, sophisticated investors, all your buy-side money managers, they take this stuff for granted. This is not new news, right? But it's been something that surprises me. It's an elephant in the room kind of thing that I just don't feel like a lot of the average investors sort of really know about, you know, just in my own conversations with folks. A lot of the just significant myths out there with respect to how Wall Street works, and these underwriting fees are something that's really worth making sure more people know about. Just as an example, to get a start, Wall Street stands to make about $12 million for every $1 billion in junk bond issuance, right? And that's kind of your lowest quality. So equity underwriting fees are much higher. I think Snapchat paid $85 million or $90 million to Wall Street for its equity IPO, right? So there's big bucks that Wall Street wins when they help these firms issue more debt or equity. Big bucks, right? So there's therefore a conflict in their ability to be positive about these companies if they want to win, curry favor with these firms or these potential clients when they issue bonds or equity, right? So what we saw this week in the earnings releases from both Tesla and Spotify was ugly. Stocks got crushed, but target prices didn't change. Ratings didn't change. In some cases, we saw some comments that they did have a little flavor of criticism, at least in the Tesla situation, just because his behavior, Mr. Musk's behavior, was pretty absurd. So I'll give you a couple quotes. Like, for example, from the Evercore ISI analyst, he wrote, questions which we believe need to be answered in order for the broader investment community to become more constructive on an entity that continues to burn cash and whose funding needs remain subject to debate. So Musk is denying the fact that he's going to need to raise capital when he burned something like $2.5 billion last year, and he only has about $2 billion or so left on the balance sheet as of the end of last year. If anything, burn rates are getting worse. You know, he can't make it through the year, probably. Everybody knows that. It's math. The Morgan Stanley analyst wrote, and with respect here, he wrote, an important part of Tesla's success has been its relationship with the capital markets in funding its ambitious plans. So these are, I think, pretty, how should I put it? These are delicate ways of saying, hey, buddy, don't talk smack to us on the earnings calls if you expect to get underwriting support. Nevertheless, where the matter is most, right, Evercore raised its price target, despite all this, on Tesla after the call. Right? And so you know, just it's just kind of a joke. Morgan Stanley didn't really change its target. I think what you see in a lot of other notes is more positive talk here about Tesla in particular. And so I don't know. I just find it's pretty funny that business being in as rough shape as it is with Tesla, and yet they're not changing their price target.
You'd like to think that analysts would have their feet held to the fire, but aside from you doing it here, realistically, Wall Street doesn't. Like, they're going to make this call, somebody's going to get burned by it, and they're just going to move on to whatever's next, right?
It happens all the time, absolutely. I mean, you know, look at Snapchat, right? That's a danger zone pick. It's way underwater since the IPO. We pointed out the same thing, same conflicts there. Spotify, more recent one. Right, they got crushed yesterday. They're not making money. It doesn't look like they're gonna. It's just very difficult to figure out how they're gonna make money, given what they've said about their average revenue per user falling and continuing to falling. Yet, RBC's analysts note that the business model is this quote: "The business model is inflecting, and the valuation is highly reasonable." Our math, and you'll see this in our report on the topic, Chuck. Our math shows that those are absurd comments by anybody who can use a calculator. And so, yeah, it just keeps on happening, right? Until people call the bluff, you know, I think the investing public calls the bluff. It'll keep happening. Here's the thing, though: very difficult for them to do that. Where does the average investor get a voice to call this bluff?
Yeah, they don't. But that's why they have to understand at least where things are coming from, and understand that if you hear it from sell side analysts, and you hear it on ugly earnings from sell side analysts, you at least have to dig a little deeper. That's why the sell side spin is in the danger zone. David, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is president and founder of New Constructs. For more information, to check out their lists of most attractive and most dangerous stocks, to find their blog and get more details on the things we've been discussing here, go to newconstructs.com and follow them on Twitter at newconstructs. The market call is next. Chuck Carlson from the Drip Investor will be here when we return in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.